You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
I'm back here on the K Show. Who do I love more than anybody on the station, Peter?
Rick D. Pietro.
That's right. And really, should I love anybody more than him? No.
It doesn't matter if you should, because you won't.
I won't.
I would think I was in the running, but I get it.
You were in the running, but you lost.
Yeah. Man, I don't make nearly as much money, look nearly as good.
Well, that's true. The money doesn't matter, but the way you look certainly does. Anyway, let's bring in the great man, Rick D. Pietro, right now. Rick, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Michael, especially with that intro, how much you love me. And Don. With that new suit coat, with the weight loss, don't sell yourself short. I mean, you're gorgeous right now. Look at you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
He does look tremendous. He really does.
Such a good guy. I understand. I see what you see in him, Michael.
Of course. He's a delight. All right, so, Rick, I'm sure this took you by surprise. How surprised were you when this came down?
To be honest with you, it's funny. I actually got a text message earlier this morning when I got done with my show that don't be surprised if the Rangers make a change, was the text message. And I thought that could be two things. It's going to either be the coach, which would be, I mean, weird with only three games left, or it was potentially the GM. So when I heard that, I'm like, oh, it doesn't make any sense why they would do that. And then all of a sudden the news comes out that both JD and Gordon are fired. I was as surprised as everyone else.
So what do you think it's about?
I think something had to have happened. I mean, I heard you guys talking earlier. I think it's – maybe Dolan has too much time on his hands now that he has Leon Rose in charge and Thibs in charge of the Knicks. He wants to get his hands more involved here with the Rangers. But I think it was a bunch of different things. And then all of a sudden what you saw with Washington and Tom Wilson, and then the letter, which I've been told was not the work of JD or Gordon. That was more of a James Dolan decision. And then I also heard what you just reported earlier before you went to break, that it was the GM needs to be fired. JD said, no, I'm not going to fire the GM, so we just fired both.
All right, let's focus on that. Is this team ill-conceived? Did Gordon do a bad job building this team?
No, I mean, from when the letter came out to where they're at now, and, I mean, you're talking about the start of a rebuild. It's way ahead of schedule where I thought it would be. And when you look up and down this roster, I mean, Don, you were mentioning it. Like, you weren't going to make a different pick. Capocacco was the pick. Lafreniere was the pick. Like, those were the picks that you were going to make. And when you go up and down the lineup, I mean, with Zibanejad and Panarin, and now you get Shesterkin and Nett and what Fox has become. I mean, he's in the conversation for the Norris this year. Like, there's plenty of talent here. Plenty of talent. They're really young. Like, they're a really young team. And the one element that I think they are missing is the grit element. I mean, the only really, you know, gritty player that you had as far as, you know, your forwards were concerned was Lemieux, and you traded him away. So, that's definitely an element that needs to be added. But I'm sure that would be something that, you know, as you move forward, like, you want to accumulate talent first, and then you can add the missing pieces where you need to.
And Rick, if Jim Dolan's upset they don't have a Tom Wilson, nobody else in the league does. I mean, he's a unique type of talent. And Matt Martin, I mean, that's a unique type of guy that can play on a fourth line, score big goals, and also be a physical presence. As I mentioned before, you don't go to the rack at the NHL store and buy these guys. It's a rare commodity that you just can't snap your fingers and acquire.
No, these teams are looking for him, too. I remember, Donnie, I mean, that was one of the things that Tampa was missing. Like, one of the reasons why Tampa couldn't get to that, you know, that Stanley Cup championship level was because they lack grit. And when you watch hockey, and Donnie, you know this, and anyone else that watches hockey knows this, like, when you get if the goal is ultimately to win a Stanley Cup or make a deep run in the playoffs, like, you need to have the versatility to win a bunch of different ways. You get, it's going to be, you know, up and down the ice. We can play, you know, east to west skill game. Or if all of a sudden now we're going to get tough, we're going to get physical because it's the postseason, refs are going to let a little bit more go, we can play that way too. That's why Boston is such a good team, especially with that first line, because they got to – and he's not as physically intimidating as Tom Wilson, but Marchand's the same kind of player. Like, he tiptoes that line between being, you know, physical and dirty. Like, that's the kind of player he is. He's the same kind of player. But, I mean, that's – a guy like Tom Wilson, he's not even a fourth liner, Donnie. I mean, you mentioned this is a guy who can play on the top line. This is a guy who can get 15, 20 goals. I mean, he's a talented player that just so happens to be, you know, that kind of crazy where he likes to play the way that he plays.
Now, I don't know if you heard what Messier said. He said he would not build the team this way. Do you agree that it should have been built differently?
Well, I will agree with that they're missing that element to their game. I do believe that. But when you look at this team and how young this team is and how much skill this team has, I think the disconnect was with how the team is being built and the style that Quinny wants to play. Like, and you hear it all the time about structure and, you know, playing, you know, great in the defensive zone. And I think he was finally coming to grips with the fact, like, I have to allow these guys to showcase their skill. And that may end up, you know, costing us in some situations where we're not as, you know, as stout defensively as we need to be. But I mean, for anyone to think that the, you know, the New York Rangers, with how they're built, can all of a sudden morph themselves into how the New York Islanders play is crazy. That's not the type of team they are. They're a much more skilled team than the Islanders are. The Islanders have to play that system to have success. The Rangers have really high-end talent, and they're just missing that little extra, that element of grit that I think they can get to them, will get them to that next level.
Do you believe Quinn's job is in jeopardy?
Unfortunately, I do. I do. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Chris comes in and ends up hiring his own guy. Just a fresh start, new voice.
Now let's talk about Chris. You know him. He's done the homework. He's put in the work for this position. If the reports are true that he's the new general manager and president, how do you think he'll do?
I had a chance to play with Chris. He's a BU guy. He's a smart guy. He's, like you mentioned, I mean, he's been the assistant GM for the last five seasons. Donnie, here's the other thing to take into account, too. I don't know how much of this has to do or the urgency to get Chris more involved, to give him that promotion to the GM spot. I don't necessarily know going in they said they thought he would be both president and GM, because I really do believe it was on JD to relieve Gordon. He said no, and then he gets fired. But I mean, Chris was up for the Penguins job, and he told them, no, I'm all set. I don't want that job. So I would have to imagine that he knew at some point that he would be next in line to be the GM. But I mean, he's a really smart guy. He was a really good player. I'm sure he sold James Dolan on his vision for what this team could be in the changes of the tweaks that he would make. But I mean, he's a guy that's had success. I mean, a guy won a Little League World Series. Like, he's had success wherever he's gone. I would imagine he's gonna address exactly what I think we all, you know, watching this team realize that they need, which is some extra grit, some extra toughness.
All right, the Rangers have finally released a statement, and they do say that Gordon and Davidson have been relieved of their duties. They're leaving the organization, and then they add senior advisor Glenn Sather will work with Drury during this transition and continue to consult with the team. Now, here's a quote from Dolan. We want to thank JD and Jeff for their contributions to the organization. They're both great hockey professionals who worked hard for the Rangers. However, in order for the team to succeed in the manner our fans deserve, there needs to be a change in leadership. Chris is a very sought-after executive and a strong leader who has proven himself to be one of the top young minds in hockey. We are confident he will effectively guide the team to ensure the long-term success we promised Ranger fans.
Now, all right, that's fine, all right? And if that's the way Jim Dolan feels, he's the owner of the team. I don't know if you can do it, Rick. How does this affect JD? I mean, the guy is an icon. He's the president of the organization. If you want to make a change at general manager and have Chris take over for Gordon, okay. But how does JD fit into this? It would only have to be that maybe that wasn't the plan, that JD fell on the sword because he wanted to keep Gordon. I can't imagine that Jim Dolan would think that there's a lack of leadership or a lack of ability from JD. Do you?
No, I don't. I mean, there were, listen, I did, from people that I spoke to, there were I mean, there were some concerns when J.D. was hired. But, again, I mean, you hire him as the team president, and of course, he's going to, you know, oversee what the GM and Jeff Gordon is doing. And it, apparently, from what I've been told, they kind of – those two were of the mindset that, you know, this is a rebuild. We're headed in the right direction. You know, I understand people, you know, want this to all of a sudden we snap our fingers and this team is a playoff team and everything else, but we're the youngest team in the league. Let's continue to build this thing the right way. And that wasn't something that ownership wanted to hear. And I think there was the fact that, you know, Chris Drury was waiting in the wing. And I'm sure he has the ear of the owner, and what he was selling as far as his vision was concerned was kind of the impetus for, okay, we need a change, and we want it to be Chris. And then when J.D. was told, you're going to have to fire Jeff Gordon, he's like, no, I mean, I don't think he deserves to be fired. And that was it for both of them.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's very strange to me. I don't know if you heard when I said this earlier. It has the same feel as what he did with Phil Jackson. You let Phil Jackson conduct the draft, and then 8 days later, you bang him. And now you've let Jeff Gordon rebuild the team. I mean, he sent the letter out. He's the guy who's done all these moves, and now he's not good enough to see it to the end. Why was he the guy that rebuilt it then?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, you know, one, I have a bunch of buddies that are Rangers fans, and I know they've been upset, they've been frustrated with, you know, the lack of toughness, the lack of grit, and obviously that was on full display with the whole Tom Wilson thing. But, I mean, it was, for the most part, they were happy with the direction this team was going in. I mean, you have a lot of really good players. Like, I mean, as far as, you know, upper echelon players, I mean, let's go back before, you know, the pandemic. I mean, Panarin, I mean, he was on pace. If they actually, before the pandemic, make it into the playoffs, and they were trending towards making the playoffs, I mean, he's right there to win MVP. Zibanejad, in my opinion, in that season, he should have been right there for the Selke. Like, they have, and on top of the fact, I mean, what they've done with the draft and Kako and Lafreniere and Fox and Miller's going to be a stud. Like, they have a lot of really good pieces. Shesterkin's a really good goalie. Like, there's a lot of really good pieces here. And again, I think it was probably a priority of theirs moving forward. Okay, listen, we see what we have now. We're young. Guys are going to continue to grow and get better, but we are missing, you know, a couple of things as far as physicality, grit, that we need to address. And Donnie's point, he makes a great point. Like, you can't – there aren't a lot of Tom – there's not many Tom Wilsons just floating around the NHL. Like, those guys, they don't grow on trees. They don't exist. The game is different now. Like, you're hard-pressed to find a guy that's as skilled as Tom Wilson that you can actually – you know, play as much as Tom Wilson plays. Like, you're not going to put some guy on your bench that's a tough guy and take up a spot on your bench and play him 3-4 minutes. That doesn't exist anymore. And that would be something that I would imagine, like, JD and Gordon are smart enough that they would have addressed moving forward. But now, you know, obviously it's going to be something that Chris is going to have to do.
You know, I know they're out of the playoffs, but I outlined all the issues they've had with injuries and COVID, and they'd be 2 points back in Nashville for a playoff spot in the Central Division. They'd be in the playoffs in the West, and they'd be in the playoffs in the North. You know, so if circumstances were different, we're talking about a playoff team.
Well, no, I mean, listen, when these divisions got rearranged because of the shortened season, the Rangers, like, even if things fell perfectly for the Rangers, if Zibanejad didn't get COVID, and it took him a while for him to get back to, you know, what we expect from him, Panarin having to take the leave, Hedo being hurt, D'Angelo, you know, being sent home. One of your best defensive being sent home. Like, it's not excuses. There's a bunch of different reasons. But, I mean, when you look at the Eastern Division, I mean, they were hard-pressed to make the playoffs anyway with what you have at the top of that division. Even if things went perfectly, it was going to be tough to make the playoffs.
Final thing, Rick, before we let you go, do you believe that there will be anything that goes on in tonight's game where they get back at Wilson? Is there anybody that could do it?
I don't know if it has to be – listen, I don't know if they have anyone on that team. I'm sure they're having team meetings and conversations. You know, Donnie remembers when I got knocked out in that Pittsburgh game, the next time we played Pittsburgh, it was a redemption game. I mean, it was – we don't care what happens. Everyone's fighting. and it was like fight after fight after fight. It was physical. I'm hoping there's something like that. Like I'm hoping the Rangers show some pushback, some fight. I don't necessarily know if it has to be Tom Wilson. I think you send the message by, listen, you're going to be tough, you know, tough with our skill players, the best players on our team. Well, guess what? We're going to be tough on your skill players, because that's how we're going to get our retribution. So I would hope that, and it doesn't necessarily have to be fighting. I'm sure there will be a fight or two, I would hope, but I think it's more, you know, their approach, the physicality they're going to bring to the game tonight.
Rick, in a situation like that, how much is that discussed? Is it unsaid, or in the locker room beforehand, are you actually talking about what people are going to do?
I can't say it's orchestrated, like, you know, this is, you know, hey, you're going to fight him or you're going to go after him. I mean, that'll all play itself out. I think it's just a mindset going into the game that this is how we're going to approach it. Like, we're going to make sure we make a statement tonight that we're not going to be pushed around. We're not going to be bullied. And it actually sets up well for them to do it, because their season really, I mean, it's over. Like, they're not going to make the playoffs. So this would be the opportunity to do it.
After how many minutes tonight, if nothing has happened, would you be actually disappointed?
Well, I was surprised nothing happened in the previous game when Wilson did what he did. Like at that point,
yeah,
I mean, the
third
what he
period.
Did to both. Yeah, I mean to both your, you know, your better players. Like what he did to Buchnevich was gross. I mean, the more I watch, the more, you know, sick to my stomach I get. I mean, he's got his arms behind his back. He's pushing his head against the ice, and God forbid, you know, Panarin hits his head on the ice. And he's laying there in a pool of his own blood because he gets, you know, body slammed to the ice. Like that for me was enough. Like I said it on my show that, and again, it, you may get beat up, but who cares? You're trying to protect your teammates. The second Washington's goalie goes into that pile to start pulling people out, I am coming flying. Like the next thing you would have saw is me flying through the air on TV, jumping into the pile, trying to get at somebody, because right. That's just, you can't. It's unacceptable.
They need Kreider to dress tonight. He needs to be healthy enough to play, because he could be the guy to do that.
But see, Donnie, he's another guy, though. That's one of the guys that you need to be. One of your, and I don't mean fighting, but with his size and his speed, like there are too many nights where he's invisible. Like he needs to be one of those guys that plays with an edge, and he doesn't consistently bring that.
Well, what happens tonight, Rick? We'll talk about it tomorrow from 5 to 8 with Chris and Dave. DCR, it's a great show. You must listen to it every single day, Monday through Friday. Rick, we thank you for coming on, as always.
Thank you, guys.
Be well. That's Rick DiPietro. When we come back, we'll take some phone calls, ENN after that. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.